Thank you to the music team. It's great to come together and worship together, and it is our prayer that Christ would be magnified no matter what is happening in our lives, no matter what will happen in our lives. As we begin this morning, the topic for today is spiritual friendship. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 to 24, the last verses of the book of Ephesians. Next week we'll do a wrap-up of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the book, own it today. And we'll talk about that next week. But I was tempted to skip this section. And, boy, it's like, oh my goodness, Todd, what are you doing here? Have you ever been tempted to do that, to skip kind of the introductions and conclusions, particularly to Paul's letters? You ever been tempted to do that? Well, this is a message about challenging you. Don't do that. There's really important stuff. It's almost like after a play or a production where they pull the curtain back and then all the people come out and take their bows and all that, and you get to understand the context behind what you just experienced. Well, that's what's happening here. The Apostle Paul is now giving us the context for this formal letter he's written, this letter that's meant to, not only for the church at Ephesus, but circulated throughout Asia Minor. And it's a pretty formal letter. I mean, you know, he talks about praying for them, but it's a little bit, you know, not individuals and things like that. But when you get to the end of the book, and the end of other books, sometimes introductions, you're going to see the men and women that were part of Paul's team. The people that made this happen, the people who were dear to him, the people who sacrificed, and you'll see these things. So don't skip those. In fact, I've never done this. I was thinking in the way in, it would be a great study just to do all the introductions and conclusions to all Paul's letters and assemble the whole team and understand the whole team of people that was involved in Paul's life. I mean, he was a single man, but he was not alone and lonely, at least most of the time. Well, this concept of spiritual friendship or spiritual friends came to my understanding and thinking. In one of the trainings I was in, they had these nice, friendly little books like this one. This one, Spiritual Friends. There's another one, I think, Soul Doctor by Robert W. Kellerman. These are seminary-level things, and so it's not real user-friendly. I've read at it. I haven't read through it. But the concept behind it is thoughts about a way of shepherding. And as we were talking about this in staff meeting, I said, yeah, you better define your terms on this one, what you actually mean by spiritual friends. Here's a definition. A Christian who is willing and able to care deeply for another Christian. We're not talking about spiritual in just the way it's understood in our world, but the way we're talking about it, a deeper relationship than just a Christian friend. Yeah, you can have tons of Christian friends, and, you know, you get together, and how was that service, you know, how's your family, things like that. But taking a deeper dive in relationship, Pastor Dennis told me, he gave me a little spoiler alert, you're going to hear some of this coming out in the testimonies in the baptismal service, so stay and be part of that and hearing this. A while ago, I attempted this topic in Bridge Builders for two lessons, and I think I disappointed the people of Bridge Builders pretty big time because we started realizing, you know, we should be talking about this a lot as a way of thinking about things. When I was getting ready to do that particular topic, the night before, you know, Saturday nights for me are like sacred time. Like about the time the sun goes down, my Sabbath starts, if you want to think about that. And I like to spend my evening praying, studying, relax just a little bit, get up early Sunday morning, do the same thing, come to church, and then I'm ready to go. Well, I was speaking on spiritual friendship, and one of my close friends' in-laws' house burned down. And we're talking, and I realized, by the way, son Daniel was in Japan at that time with Pastor Eric, so I couldn't ask him to help. And it's like, so do I spend time studying and preparing to talk about spiritual friendship, or do I actually just go and practice? So, you know, we went and worked on their house all evening. But the topic has never left my thinking from then of how we shepherd, how we care for one another, both at a church level and also at an individual level. How do we approach life? And by the way, another spoiler alert, there will be a summer elective being offered. I don't know if I have permission to say. Do I have permission to say who? Mark Brenneman will be leading it. And it'll be Caring for One Another, 8 Ways to Cultivate Meaningful Relationships. It's on the book table. You could get it and get started a while. It's a pretty easy read, not like most of the things I teach. But the understanding of what undergirds the way we do life. I was doing some training, and I heard this one guy say in his church he felt like he was auditing Christianity and relationally starving. And I remember hearing that and thinking, I never want somebody at Millersville Bible Church to feel that way. Now, if you don't participate, then that's on you. But I never want people to feel like they're just kind of spectators and they're sitting and they're listening, but they don't have any entrances in to something deeper. We never want people to feel that way. You know, there's a way of thinking about church. Is church an organization or is church an organism? And the answer is yes, it's both, right? And, you know, if your church is 6 or 8 people, it can probably just be an organism. When your church is 500, it has to have some organization to it, or it's just a mess. In the words of John Birkenbein, it's a hot mess. But, you know, we have, and you see in Scripture both organization and organism, right? You see both in Scripture. Well, in this letter, as we look at it, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 to 24, I'll take the time to read it. It says, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. And we discussed how you say this guy's name, Tychicus, or we're going to call him Beloved Ty, right? We all decided that'll work just great. Ty, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incomparable. When Chris and I were missionaries, we had the opportunity from time to time to travel around. We had this one memorable trip that Chris and I will never forget. We dropped the kids off with our in-laws. We rented a car, and we drove. It was a fantastic trip to visit supporters in Boston and Quebec. And we spent one night with John and Helen Beerley outside of Mississauga. And as we were talking to them, they had been missionaries in Haiti. And they said to us, when we were missionaries there, our co-workers were our friends. Now, from what we can see, the missionaries, they're business associates. And I'll never forget that. And it's like, I don't want to be part of organizations where it feels like business associates. You know, sometimes people have these discussions about whether pastors on staff can have their friends in the church or whether they have to have their friends somewhere else. What a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. Oh, this is my business, and, well, over here's my friends.
what a terrible thing. You got friends outside the church, but to approach relationship, or approach ministry like it's, okay, you guys stay out there, right? I do not believe that is how Christ did ministry. I do not believe that is how Paul did ministry. And I do not believe that is the way we should do ministry. You've got to have a little bit of wisdom in how you approach things. But when you look at this, I need to go back one here. Depth of relationship. The beloved brother. You know, sometimes what troubles me is when people find it easy to just pick up and leave a church. Just another one. Why doesn't it tear your heart out? Yeah. I remember when we left Guyana, I couldn't stop crying. You've just shared 10 years of your life with these people. And now you have to leave. That's one of the hard things about ministry. It's one of the hard things about the Christian life is the people you get close to, you draw near to, and then God moves you, something happens, and it's painful. It's a painful thing, and it should be. It should be a painful thing. This isn't heaven. Eventually, so shall we ever be with the Lord, and we'll be God's people, and he'll be among us, and this will be completed. But for now, there's a depth of relationship that should be there, and if it's not, there's something wrong, right? If you're sitting here this morning and say, I just kind of come to church, sit down, I listen, I shake my head, I get up and I leave, and that's my Christianity. My friends, there's something wrong. If that's your level of Christianity, there's something wrong. That's not how they did ministry. The beloved brother, requirements for the relationship, a faithful fellow servant. You're not going to have these kind of relationships with people upon whom you cannot depend, right? I've often noticed that you'll have highly gifted people that you can't depend upon, or they love to be first. Fellow servants. When we lived in Guyana, there was often guys who would come, I noticed this moment among the guys, and they would have these sunny personalities, and they would have gifts to speak, and they could really spin things well, and all that. And you think, this guy's got a lot of potential, and he loved to be first. That is not biblical Christianity. That's something else. That's something else. Faithful. You can depend upon them. They're willing to do whatever it takes to build up the body of Christ. They're willing to do whatever it takes. You know, if that toilet needs clean, go clean it. I gave a test one time in Guyana. We had formalized classes and a test at the end of the class. I didn't tell them it was a test. Now, we got done with the test. And I said, okay. You know, we're wrapping up. Christmas is coming. We're using this church building. I had a list of things for them to do to clean up. And cleaning the toilet was optional. I wanted to see who would volunteer. Brother Vijay volunteered. And he's still in ministry. Right? And the guys who had the big mouths, I gave the low jobs. And the guys who were quiet, I gave the leadership jobs. Brother Vishal, I gave the leadership job. He was quiet. And this other guy who had a big mouth, I gave him something that didn't have any leadership. And all he did was stand around and boss people around. He's not in ministry today. Brother Vishal is leading the organization. I pulled them in and said, by the way, this was a test. F-F-A-A. It's kind of interesting. The guys that got A's are still in ministry, and the guys that got F are out. You can have all the personality in the world. It's not what it takes. It's about being faithful. It's about being a servant. and joining together with other servants to serve the Lord. And relationships like this, they take sacrifice. You know, Paul, when he writes this, he's in prison, right? And he says, I've sent him to you. And I went to look up this guy and see what else beloved Ty did. There's not a whole lot recorded about him, but one thing that is recorded, two different times Paul sends him to the church at Ephesus. Both times Paul's in prison, and the second time he's getting ready to die, and he's all alone except for Luke. Sacrifice. If you want to have depth of relationship, it includes sacrifice. You'll have to do things at times that you don't want to do. You'll have to do things that are inconvenient. You'll have to do things that make you feel like you're dying to yourself. And I think I read about that somewhere, that maybe that's required in order to have the kind of relationships we read about here. Now, this relationship, it has substance to it as well. To know how I am doing, what I am doing, that he may encourage you. You know, so sometimes people ask questions like, hey, how you doing? And the next thing that happens is off you go, right? I may have shared this story before. My friend Stefan came from Switzerland. We were talking. He says, what do people mean when they say, how are you doing? Because they keep walking. I said, oh, it's just a greeting. That's just a greeting. But how are you doing? The question of how much time do you have? Yeah. How much time do you have? In the summer of 1986, Chris and I had the privilege of leading a teen missions team in Northwest Haiti. We were under attack from communist rebels. All got salmonella. We lived in tents for the summer. I lost 25 pounds. Chris did. Well, it was a great weight reduction program. And when we got home, we flew into Harrisburg. And Chris's folks came to pick us up. Now, have you ever been to Harrisburg Airport? Right? Pretty small, right? Her folks walked right by us and didn't recognize us. Okay. So, you know, a couple weeks later, we went back to Bible college, and people said things like, so how was your summer? It's like, we decided we needed to have a one-sentence answer. And our sentence was, we learned God's faithful. You know, you can trust him. But there was a couple people that would come and sit down and say, so tell me about your summer. What was it like? Right? Those are friends, right? And you can't have a depth of relationship with 500 people, but you ought to have it with someone. You know, I mean, know how you're doing. Know what are you doing? Well, what are you doing, Paul? What's it like in prison? Right? Yeah. You know, it would be helpful to know something about what's going on. And, you know, Paul's in prison, but he's concerned that these people would be encouraged and not discouraged because their leader is in prison. What's going to happen? The sky has not fallen just because Paul's in prison. You know, it's something we often talk about at an elder level, a staff level. How do we go about communicating things so people know things? And, you know, we don't want to overwhelm people with information. But at the same time, it's helpful to know what's going on in people's lives. I mean, right now we have a number of people struggling with COVID, and you know, it's helpful for there to be a body of people that care, that know, that are praying for. And we consistently hear people talking about the level of care of this church, and that's a really good thing. The Apostle Paul, you get a little window into how he thought about ministry when he said, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also ourselves, because you had become very dear to us. A year earlier than the teen missions team, myself and a good friend of mine by the name of Mike Tobin went to the north of Haiti to spend a couple weeks with Ron and Denise Hung. That's where we met them, 1985. And I learned so much by being there and watching Ron and the way he did ministry. And, he never got ordained because he didn't want the Haitians to want him to pastor a church. He wanted to build up the people around him. And I learned from him, it's like, man, what a powerful model. But I'll never forget what Ron said to us as he was dropping us off at the airport. Boy, this is tough. You know, you get close to people and then they leave. Well, Ron and Denise became friends of Chris and myself, and we've spent time in more different countries together than anyone else in our lives, and other than, I guess, our kids. But, Ron is a model of this that blows me away at how many relationships he has and the depth of relationships he has. You know, even though he's in the Bahamas right now, he's on a journey group with a Zoom on Thursday nights, and Marshall's leading that, and some other guys are in that. And, it's just, that's the way it should be. You know, like I've been kind of challenged at times by Ron, by his example, and saying, how many of these kind of relationships can I maintain and do everything else that's in my life? But it's great to be challenged this way. I want to highlight another little book that's out in the book table, The Master Plan of Evangelism. And I wanted to read something from it. Page 43, it's talking about the concept of association. How did Jesus go about doing what he did? He selected people to invest deeply in, not just anybody. He loved the world, served many, invested in a few, and he spent a lot of time with a few. And it says this, it takes time. Such close and constant association, of course, meant that Jesus had virtually no time to call his own. Like little children clamoring for the attention of their father, the disciples were always under foot of the master. Even the time he took to go apart and keep his personal devotion was subject to interruption of the disciples' needs. Master, teach us to pray. Right? But Jesus would have it no other way. He wanted to be with them. They were his spiritual children, and the only way that a father can properly raise a family is to be with it. More is caught than taught. How is it that in some families, when as soon as the kids get a chance, they're gone? They're gone from Christianity. They're gone from the family. They're gone. And how is it others, they just keep coming back, and sometimes you got almost, give them a little boot. What's the difference there? Relationship. Relationship, right? That's the difference. Well, the foundation of the relationship must be all who love our Lord Jesus with a love incorruptible. Those in the beloved. All who love our Lord Jesus. It's said of Jesus by God, this is my beloved Son. That depth of relationship. And he invites us into that same kind of relationship. I remember when we first came back from Guyana, I felt like Rip Van Winkle. It's like, have I been asleep for the last 20 years? I do not know this culture. And I remember listening to Mike Murray, speaker at Lancaster Bible College, and the things he was talking about, postmodernism and things like that. I'm like, I really don't know how to relate here. So I asked him to meet. And I said, so what do you do? Truth isn't really something people believe is true in the culture. What do you do? And he said, it's simple. Love God and love people. All right. We can focus on that. Okay, I think I read about that somewhere. Let's make that the focus. And then in that context, expose truth. right? In that context. But in our culture, if you're going to try to just have people line up with truth with no relationship, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I am looking forward to the baptismal service today just to hear what those testimonies are. And we have the benefit of a youth, a young adult, and a more seasoned citizen among us. And it's interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing those testimonies. Well, as we think about this, we're thinking about it as a church culture and as individuals. As a culture of a church, a place where people are known, cared for, accountable, and equipped to pursue the ways of God. I know that the youth ministry has it about the same. I think that last word's encouraged instead of equipped. But I said to Dennis, you know, if you rework things, you could get the across. You could get this to say cake. Cared for, accountable, known, and equipped. Right? We're a cake church, but this last one of equipped. You know, I mean, Ephesians 4, 11, 12, 13 certainly tells us that is the job of the pastors and teachers, is equip the people to do the work. Equip the people to do the work. It is not the role of the pastors and teachers to do all the work. You know, if you expect just the pastors and the teachers to do all the work, there's very little that will get done. You'll be limited by those people. But when you equip a whole army of people to go do the work, that was the vision of Jesus. Why did he spend so much time with 12? Because he was unleashing them to turn the world upside down. That's the kind of church that we need to be. And we, in being equipped, okay, you can do some of it like this. You can't do all of it like this. Preaching and bigger classes is important. But, you know, we have a lot of different ways at Millsville Bible Church that we're trying to accomplish these things. You know, the adult Sunday school classes, the youth, the young adults. And I look down here and I kind of ask myself the question, would Guamuchville have come to Christ if it wasn't for the guys sitting around him? I'm picking on them. You know, I mean, the relationships, the wanting to build relationships. I remember listening to Guamucho's testimony when he was baptized and just thinking, so the Lord used this person and then this person and then this group and it had this impact. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And we can organize some of that, right? Young adults, you know, we can organize that. But we can't, but it's got to be in the mentality among the people. We can organize journey groups. We can organize various things. But people have to own it. When Chris and I came to Christ, there was three people who befriended us. The only other young couple in the church, and a young guy that was a few years younger than me, and we just started hanging out. We'd end up going for ice cream. End up, we had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, lots of church stuff. We started getting together for dinner before we went to church on Sunday night. And then we started hanging out. And, you know, Bill, he taught me the basic things of what it meant to follow Christ. And you know, we talked about Bible memorization. It kind of NAV stuff. He had been at NAVs at Penn State. I can remember going out and doing some visitation with him and beginning to learn about how to talk to someone else about Christ. Mike and Gail, you know, just our friends, and we hung out, and they were way ahead of us spiritually. And I remember Chris saying, you know, I learned things about how to approach life from just hanging out with Gail. And Mike and I ended up going to Haiti and, you know, meeting up with Ron and Denise Hom. And we love playing volleyball together, too, you know. And so, you know, and they took us to a concert one time. Jesus commands us to go. Keith Green, Memorial Concert. That's where the Lord spoke to me about serving him in missions. I had never thought of something like that. You know, Grace Baptist Church didn't organize any of this. This was the initiative of people saying, let's just get to know one another. Let's just spend time together. If you're going to wait for everything to be organized, there's a lot of it that just can't be organized. It's the mentality of the people that want something beyond a formal religion, something that really enables them to get to know people and be known. And, you know, the question really for you as a takeaway at a personal level with regard to relationships in the church, how many true spiritual friends are in your life? People who truly know you. People who are free to speak difficult truth to you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. You know, sometimes you think you have a friendship, and then when you see something in their life and you step into that, you find out, well, that's not actually the kind of friendship I thought it was. And that's painful. But I'm going to tell you, it's important to have friends who are committed to following Christ and following Christ deeply. It's important. If you're just going to stay on the surface, you're not going to grow. People who truly care about you. One of the difficulties is, I have many friends that I've spent time with, and I can't spend time with them now. The Lord's moved us a number of times. The Lord's moved them. And even in things like a journey group or something like that, there's part of us that just wants to stay tightly together. Well, in order to expand the kingdom of God, you fellowship around the gospel, and you have to keep moving out. You have to keep moving out. It's not about just huddling together. It's going deep, but reaching out. I read this in Master Plan of Evangelism, and I'll end with this. Do you see an ever-expanding company of dedicated people reaching the world with the gospel as a result of your life? I'll read it again. Do you see an ever-expanding company of dedicated people reaching the world with the gospel as a result of your life? If you're needing to change the way you approach life, it's going to start. There's these three sayings from Journey. Think big. When we first went for training, I said, think big. Think much bigger than Millsville Bible Church. Think kingdom of God big. Start small. Just a couple people. Invest in them. And go deep. I remember Dr. John saying, you know, most times people think small, start big, and go shallow. And so you get churches that are a mile wide and an inch deep. It's not the way of the master. The way of the master. Think kingdom of God big. How big does God want the impact of your life to be? I have no way of knowing. Let him determine that. Start small. Start with the things and the people that are right in front of you. How do you know who those people should be? Probably the people you can't get rid of. They just keep hanging around. You know, obviously if you've got children in your home, start there. You know, and husband, wife, you know, my greatest spiritual friend is my wife. I, I have no idea where I would be in my life if it wasn't for her. Really work at building your spiritual friendship in your homes as a starting place. And then branching out from there. Well, let's pray. Father, you've called us into a relationship with you and with one another. Where would we be without others in the body of Christ? Probably dried up and along the side of the road somewhere. Thank you that you've made everything available to us that's necessary for life and godliness. And that includes the body of Christ. That includes the people around us. Father, thank you for the depths of relationships that we do experience at Millersville Bible Church. And I pray that we would be growing in depth, in number, in impact. And Father, that we wouldn't hold back from being known. That we would have people that love us despite all of the things that are wrong in our lives, all of the foibles, all the inconsistencies, all the areas. Father, help us not to hold back from being open with people. Help us, Father, to be trustworthy with things we know that we're building up and encouraging, not tearing down, not backbiting, not gossiping. Father, these things will kill relationship building. But Father, help us to be those whose fellowship is around the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that gospel just drives us to reach out to those around us, because your marching orders to us is to be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the othermost parts of the earth. So entrust us to you. Help us to build on the foundation of Christ. If the apostles, the prophets, Christ is the chief cornerstone. Help us to build skillfully, keeping in step with the Spirit of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.